Welcome to episode number 9 of Intrepid Photography Radio, where we peek behind the lens at who is doing what in the world of photography. Greetings from the Atlanta metro area. I am your host, Bill Ramsey of the Intrepid Now Network. Katie Bar the Door, the Intrepid Photography Radio show is on fire. Thanks to the tremendous response to the show, I'm recording 5 conversations today and already have 9 more on the calendar. Not a big deal. The show is not even 1 month old. Thank you for your great response. Would you kindly help us keep the momentum rolling here? How can you do that? I'm so glad you asked. You're generous. Number 1, please continue sharing these conversations on the Great Information Superhighway. Number 2, tweet or email a word of gratitude to our guests. And lastly, sign up for the mailing list at the bottom of this post. Now, that request is not as self-serving as it sounds. Here's the benefit to you. We're posting new conversations, and soon we will include photo essays, photo critiques, and more. By signing up for the mailing list, you're simply telling us, hey, I want to be at the front of the line when something new comes out. Because we're such great guys, we will kindly oblige you with that. Here's the mailing list benefit to us at Intrepid Now. A list of actively engaged people helps us to attract more of the rock stars that you want to hear. So, while we're discussing a little housekeeping stuff, you may not be aware, but the Intrepid Now Network features a myriad of conversations, not only in photography, but in business, healthcare, lifestyle, entrepreneurship, etc., etc., etc. At the bottom of this post, you'll see a link. Click there. You'll see a long list of topics. Check mark the ones that interest you. Instead of sending you an alert about everything that Intrepid Now publishes, we'll curate the content for you, like photography, and send you only the information that you want, like photography. And let's be honest, you don't receive enough emails. If you do get a lot of emails, well, at least when others see your inbox and they see this one, it makes you look smart, well-rounded, intriguing, and better-looking. But enough housekeeping. It is time to meet another rock star in the industry. I am genuinely proud to introduce you to Mr. David Cobb of David M. Cobb Photography. A long-distance hiker, David has sharpened his photographic perspective over the years on the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide, the Canadian Divide, and most recently, walking across Iceland. After years of capturing images along the trail and becoming more and more passionate about the art of photography, he took the leap and quit the proverbial day job, actually the literal day job, to devote himself to photographic work. David's photographs are an extension of the connection that he feels with the outdoors and the wilderness. You'll see in his work that his images reflect his deep respect for nature and the fragility of the environment. David Cobb's work, if you'd like to see it, has been shown at the U.S. Botanic Garden, the National Institutes of Health, the Burke Museum, and the Kew Botanic Garden in London, England. Otherwise, you can see more of his stellar work and learn more at dmcobbphoto.com. That's 2 B's, dmcobbphoto.com. David Cobb, it is a true pleasure to have you here.
Thanks. It's nice to be here, Bill.
We really appreciate you carving out the time, and special thanks to our mutual acquaintance, Sean Bagshaw, for making the introduction.
So, definitely.
Before we get going, David, tell the audience a little bit more about you, including the aforementioned day job that you quit in order to be doing this.
I had a couple of day jobs before I became a professional landscape photographer, and I was in the newspaper business for a while selling advertising when I first got out of college. And went from there and began a music distribution company from scratch that actually did very well. And then I sold that. I saw the way the music industry was going. I sold that in 2004 and made the transition to something that I really love and with my passion all my life, which is photography.
I got to tell you, that is not where I expected that to go. That is a pretty eclectic string. Wow. So this has nothing to do with our interview, but you gave us a teaser there. You saw the direction where the music industry was going and didn't like it. Do you mind explaining?
Well, as far as my company was going, I saw the writing on the wall with what was going on with the music industry or all the digital downloads. You know, what I was doing was to get CDs and also digital downloads, but CDs into stores. And I was working with a lot of independent artists and a lot of independent labels, but definitely changing quickly. And the company's still around, and it's still thriving, but it's just something that I wanted to change in my life, and I followed a passion.
Well, man, congrats. It's a ballsy move to do it. So tell our audience, how did you get into photography?
I was photographing pretty much all my life. I loved to photograph. I was always stealing my parents' camera. And basically, it really took off as my long-distance hiking took off. And when I walked the Pacific Crest Trail from Mexico to Canada, I was photographing a lot with my trusty point-and-shoot film camera. And I learned a lot about photography on that trail. And then I walked the Continental Divide from Canada to Mexico and followed up with my photography there and learned even more. So the long distance hiking, just recording those trips made me more and more passionate about nature photography. And so it was always in the back of my mind to do this. And finally, I did it.
Man, congratulations. So I imagine those two hikes alone put you in a pretty elite crowd, but hiking across Iceland? Holy smokes. Tell us about that. What is that like?
It's a bit windy. It's a bit chilly, but it's a nice adventure. It's a beautiful country. You've seen a lot of photos from there. And in the early 2000s, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he had the same dream to walk across Iceland, so we decided to do it together. Most of my trips are solo, but this one I went off with a friend of mine who was also a photo enthusiast, Jonathan Lay. And we decided to walk from the northern tip of Iceland across where that country is literally splitting apart as those plates divide. And we walked that all the way to the southern tip of Iceland down towards Skógafoss. It was a beautiful trip, and I absolutely loved it, even though it was a bit cold and windy at times.
So are there any other long-distance hikes in your near future?
I'm thinking about walking the length of South Korea. I've got an idea for a book on that, and I've pitched it to my publisher, Tuttle Publishing, so we'll see what happens and where that goes.
Yeah, no pressure to the publisher that we just put that out there live for the audience to hear. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Well, your work is, you know, I've heard you mention, you know, these long treks. I've not heard anything about Japan, but you have a real interest in Japanese gardens. Where does this come from?
It was really went hand in hand with photography. The first time I started photographing Japanese gardens in North America was with infrared film and my film camera. I really developed a love for Japanese gardens by doing that, and then I started photographing them more and more, which became a passion of mine. The Japanese garden was kind of my muse. And so from there, I had pitched Tuttle, my publisher, on a book idea. And what came out of it was Quiet Beauty, Japanese Gardens of North America, that I did with the writer Ken Brown. So it features the top 25 Japanese gardens in the U.S. and Canada. So it was a lot of travel involved. There's a lot of work involved. And we've got another follow-up to this coming out soon. And I start working on that in 2015.
Smokes. Man, you are busy.
I am a bit busy.
So for the help of we who are listening right now, if we wanted to get our hands on the book that's already been published, can we still do that? And if so, where?
You can basically order it through any independent bookstore or the larger bookstores, Barnes & Noble's, for instance. Amazon definitely has it, but it can be ordered virtually anywhere, and there is a digital download for it also on your Kindle.
Very good. Let's talk about a couple of the images that you have shared with the audience here. Let's look first at the image you've titled, Above It All. Explain the story behind that, would you?
Sure. It's in Glacier National Park. It's a scene that I've photographed many, many times and have been there many, many times. And Sean Bagshaw, who you recently had on the show, I was with him one year, and I remarked to him, wouldn't it be great if a goat walked and just posed for us? I was basically in the same place that I took that photo. And we both thought that was a cool idea, and maybe it would happen sometime, maybe it wouldn't. And that was in 2008. And in 2012, I was there with a group doing a workshop to the Pacific Northwest Art School. And everyone was doing fine. They checked in with everybody. We had been photographing a goat earlier walking around. And the goats are fairly common along that ledge above Hidden Lake. But for them to pose for you doesn't happen so often and very infrequently. But everyone was fine, so I just kind of thought I'd take out my camera and do a landscape shot. And then a goat walked right behind me and walked on that little viewpoint and just posed for me. So I cranked my ISO up to 1,000, got it down to about a 15th of a second. I had already posed for the already framed for the landscape shot. The goat just kind of put it over the top for me.
You must be living right.
Yeah, in a way I am. I was a bit lucky with it, but it was also persistence. Photography, a lot of landscape photography is about persistence, and you can't always get the shot you want. So going back time and time again, sometimes that pays off.
That's a good word. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, they say likewise in writing. Writing is really all about the rewriting. I assume it would be similar in landscape photography. It's about the showing up again and again and again and again.
Exactly.
David, explain to us another one. You've got another image you shared with the audience called Senorita's Dress. It's the close-up image of the mushroom. I got to be honest with you. I see a lot of macro work that is remarkably underwhelming. But then we've got something like this that really is striking. Tell me what you like about this image, and tell us a little bit of the background behind this one.
I like the depth of field. I like the colors involved. And I love photographing mushrooms. And this one is just a shot I enjoy. I love macro work. But this shot, to me, signifies that you don't have to go too far from home to get great photos. You don't have to travel the world all the time, because this was shot in my backyard under some apricot trees. I saw the mushroom. I liked the texture of it. And there were a lot of fallen fall leaves around that mushroom. And I had to fill in a few spots where there were some white glares or some black blobs that were intruding and would be distracting to the eye. So I had to do a little bit of maintenance, but not much. Took some time, took a number of shots, and this one was the one I really enjoyed. But to me, it looks like the lip of a senorita's dress as she's spinning around dancing. So it's just in my backyard. So again, you don't have to travel far from home to get some really nice shots. And a lot of my images are taken close to home.
Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you for illustrating to us how often the title of an image adds another dimension to it. Thank you for sharing the story with us.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Happy New Year from this new network known as Intrepid Now. Let me take a quick moment to give you a heads up, and then secondly, I'm going to ask you for a big favor to help the entire audience here. If you're like me, your interests vary more than just photography. At the Intrepid Now Network, you may not be aware that we bring you conversations from all sorts of disciplines. You want to talk about business, about healthcare, about HR, about lifestyle, about good living, about food. There's a myriad of conversations that we're providing here if you're unaware, and our mailing list is unique from others. At the bottom of this post, I'm asking you to sign up for our mailing list. Here's how it is different than others. Quite honestly, there's no way you could listen to all of the stories that we bring you. And instead of bombarding you with every one of them, we're asking you to go through and to check the topics of interest. Things that really fascinate you. So then when we create a story that we think would be of interest to you, we will curate the list and send you the stories that are just pertinent to you. Speaking of the stories that are pertinent to you, let's talk about this photography show. I need your help. The fact is, there are so many people and businesses and movers and shakers in the world of photography that I simply don't know. Or maybe I know them and I just didn't realize there would be somebody that you would be fascinated to hear from. Email me and tell me who you want to hear from. Send me their name, their business, their contact information to bill@intrepidnow.com. I'll do my best to get them on the show, and quite honestly, it'll be a lot easier for me to reach out to them when their demanding audience has cried out their name.
Welcome back to the Intrepid Photography Radio Show, where we are joined by photographer and educator, Mr. David Kopp. David, you're a team member of Photocascadia, which can be found online at photocascadia.com. Tell us about this group of guys.
We just actually had our annual meeting. We meet once a year because that's about the only time we have that we can all get on the same page and find a weekend that we're not busy. So we just got together. We had a lot of fun. Basically, Adrian Klein, who's one of the team members at Photocascadia, came up with this brilliant idea, and he invited some people that he knew, that he liked their work, that he liked. And the miracle of it all is that we actually get along and have a great time together. And that's really the blessing behind Photocascadia. We enjoy each other's work. We push each other, not in a competitive way, but when someone gets a photo that's really nice, it really helps the game of everybody. And we strive to help each other and improve. So we also think as a group that we can probably get more business, more corporate business, and larger accounts by working together as a team as opposed to also doing just our solo projects. So it's worked out well.
So before I ask you a question about the value of Photocascadia to you personally, help our audience understand when they log on there, what are they going to see on the Photocascadia site? What are you providing for the people who find you there?
The biggest thing we provide is our blog. So once a week, one of the team members, and we rotate that out. So there's 16 members in Photocascadia. So every month and a half, I have to write a blog, and everybody else too. So we have a lot of continuing content on our blog. And it's from a different perspective because each person writes it. But we cover anything from places to go to also gear reviews and also some Photoshop techniques and much, much more.
So I look at a group like Photocascadia. There's six guys there who are at the top of their game, yet they still carve out the time to get together and to work together, to contribute together. There's a lot of people listening right now who would probably say, well, hey, I don't need that. I've got my own thing going. I'm fine flying solo. How would you speak to that lone wolf mentality, and what are some of the benefits that you personally have received from being a part of a group like this?
You know, if someone wants to fly solo, that's definitely not a problem, but I have flown solo, and I have been part of this team, and it's just a great bunch of guys. I learn from them. They learn from me. We have a lot of camaraderie. It makes photography fun, actually, getting together and just having a great weekend like we did last weekend was just helped make my year even better. So there's that part of it, but there's also the business aspect of it. And I really think that we help each other out in that realm. Sometimes there's someone that can't take someone off on a one-on-one workshop. So they put it to us first, or they can't do this one particular shoot because they're busy. They're doing another shoot, so they might pass it off to another Photocascadia team member. So there's a lot of sharing in that aspect too. And it helps round out our business side and also our social side of photography.
Well, I'm going to relay a question to you, David, that I also gave to Sean in our second interview of Intrepid Photography. This one is from my 10-year-old, the Big H. He would love to be a landscape photographer for a living. And so before I interviewed Sean, I said, hey, here's the guy I'm going to be interviewing, H. What would you want to ask him? Here's the question from a 10-year-old, if you think you can handle it. You ready?
I think so. Let's go for it.
Well, that's mighty brave of you. Here we go. His question is, what advice would you give me as a kid who wants to be a professional landscape photographer?
I think for me, it was learning how to run a business first. I talked about how I was selling advertising for a while, and then I started my own business and ran that business. That has definitely helped me in my photography. My photography came along just fine. And if you're passionate about it, if you enjoy the creation, it will get better and you will be a good photographer probably. But the business side is a major part of being a landscape photographer, and learning how to run a business first is something that definitely will help you in the long run.
So for our audience who is groaning right now thinking, that does not sound sexy at all.
It's not. It's reality.
Those would be starving artists, and eventually starving artists starve to death and go out of business and give up their hobby. Let me ask you some specifics about running a business. You mentioned your first career was in sales. I would assume that's one of the key traits you would suggest learning to run a business. What are some of the other key things that when you look around at a lot of photographers who are struggling to make it, what are the things that they are not getting in their business life?
Sales is a big part of it. There's always creation of your photos, and I love that part of it. I love the artistic part of photography. And frankly, some of the photography, like what I do for stock and things, it's not sexy. It's inventory. So selling that inventory is one way to make money. Making sure my workshops are organized. Making sure I have all the permits for my workshops. You know, national parks. If you're doing a workshop there, there are gobs of paperwork that you have to do. You have to have your insurance in line, and you have to have your wilderness first aid permit. You have to have your first aid, your CPR, your AED stuff in line. So there's a lot of non-sexy stuff about putting on those workshops that should be in line. And by learning how to run a business, you learn how to just kind of roll up the sleeves and get through it and get that non-sexy stuff done, because it is a big part of photography.
So you mentioned your workshops. Explain a little bit about some of the workshops you do and what do you have coming up in the near future?
A lot of the workshops I do, I have the Best Northwest Photo Workshops, which I organize throughout the Pacific Northwest, and those are the long weekend workshops. I'm just starting some one-day workshops to fill in the gaps, because those long weekend workshops are all sold out next year. Coming up soon, I'm going to be working with another company, going to Cambodia and Vietnam, and Kevin McNeil, another Photocascadia member, and I will be in Texas during the wildflower season down there. Those are some of the up-and-coming ones.
So if somebody who's considering joining you on one of your workshops, what should I expect? Is this for somebody who's brand new to the camera? Is this for somebody who's pretty seasoned? what would surprise me about it, and answer all of those in 25 words or less.
I will try to be succinct. It's for brand new and seasoned people. I run the gamut, and I can work with anybody. So brand new people find that they learn a lot from the seasoned people in the workshop, too. It's not just me or the co-instructor yakking all workshop long. You learn from the people that are there, and that's a big aspect of the workshops. And so I think that's in 25 words or less.
You can go to 30 words if you need to, because I'm just such a generous guy.
Okay.
So, and I know we haven't discussed this. I hate to hit you with a question that I've not prepped you for, but what is one of your fondest memories that photography has given to you, this career?
One of my fondest memories that photography has given me, it's being out there. You know, you don't walk across the country twice if you don't like being outside. And yes, there is the non-sexy part. There is the desks that you're going to be at. But, you know, just being out there and seeing some of that light unfold day after day on road trips or on a shoot or photographing in a place that I want to go. I try to get out and backpack at least 3 times a year to some areas. And I've seen some beautiful things and some remarkable things on this planet. And that in itself is reward.
Well, we appreciate you taking a camera in tow and sharing some of that with the rest of us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, my friend, I hate to say it, but we are almost out of time. There's a couple key things to ask you first. One, how would I learn more about your workshops? And two, how can our audience keep in touch with what you're doing?
Well, you can follow me if you go to my website, dmcobbphoto.com, and there's a workshop tab there where you can find out all the workshops that I'll be participating in the coming year, whether it's through my company or other companies. And also, you can keep in touch with me on Facebook, David M. Cobb Photography, or Twitter, DM Cobb Photo, or other social media like Google+, 500 Pixels, and others.
David Cobb of David M. Cobb Photography, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Bill.
Thus ends another episode. I am your host, Bill Ramsey. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time on Intrepid Photography Radio.